All right. That was a great worship song. You know, I think the fact that you were off on the, you know, your chord there at the beginning, I think that's just because I was praising how much I really enjoy your worship and everything earlier and just through you. So I have to apologize. No, that's awesome. I have a unique privilege today because I am the youngest in my family and my older brother is here visiting today. And so that's really cool. Not too often do you actually get to preach to your older brother. And so I stayed up last night thinking, oh, you know, I need to change my sermon and I need to do something about, like, you know, Joseph and David. And you know how all the younger brothers, like, rose up to this incredible challenge. And then I realized it's too obvious. Nobody, you know, no reason to preach that. Everybody understands that the younger brothers got the privilege, right? So so we're not going to do that. We're going to go back to all things for the glory of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, you have redeemed us, and you have given us peace, and you've given us purpose, and you've given us hope, and the name of Jesus really does change us. And so, Father God, I ask that deep inside, that feeling that we have right now when we think about what it is that you've done for us, your glory, that, Father, that feeling would birth inside of us our actions, our thoughts, our motivation. That, Lord, it would not just rest there, but that it would be a well that would spring forth into every aspect of our life. That, Father God, as we talk about these things that bring you glory, that bring you weight, that bring you honor, that, Father, that we would adapt them. They would not just be ideas, but they would be a way of our life. And so, Lord, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're going through this series here, talking about all things to the glory of God, I mean, the reality is we know that we were created for the glory of God. We were created. And I think sometimes when we say glory, it's hard for us to kind of grasp that mentally. So I like when we break that down and realize that glory just means the heaviness of God. And we were made to bring heaviness, to bring value to God, to honor him in the things that we do in a way that others would be awe-inspired. They would take the reality of who he is not a pushover. He is something of importance. The reality that our life is to live in a way that brings that weight to the importance of who God is. And so as we go through this, it's super important for us to be able to grasp all these different things and to kind of rethink them and live them out in our life, because so often we get in this rut, this routine that we live life and we do things and we kind of, it's easy for us to seek out our own purpose and our own happiness, thinking that that's what we're created for, when the reality is we're only going to truly find happiness and joy when we live in the place that God has created us to be and to live in a way that actually honors him. And so as we've been breaking down some of these different ones, last week I talked about money. And I brought up a key essential. And money is one of those things that is so heavy in our life and often distracts us so much. I told you that I wanted to come back to it because there's several aspects of it that I do want to dig in. Once again, I'm not going to give you tips on how to budget your money. I'm not going to give you tips on how to, you know, put all your bills, you know, to rest and all those things. I'm not going to give you that because I think those things are good and they're practical. If you want help on that, get a hold of us. We can. Sasha actually has been certified a long time ago as a money, what was it, money manager, the Larry Burkett, I think it was financial peace, I can't remember now, but anyway, she was registered with one of those guys to be able to help people process that stuff. So there are ways of being able to help you practically in the midst of those, and those are good. But what I want to dig at is really our mindset, because if our mindset is not steadfast and in proper order with what God wants us to be thinking and how we think, we're going to mess it up regardless. And so it's being able to really get that proper perspective. And we kind of talked about that a little bit last week. Or remind you here, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. This is a little section that Jesus is quoting, and he's literally quoting this right before storing up treasures in heaven. And then coming back at the end of this quote, he actually talks about you cannot love both man and money. And so right in the middle of it, he has these little verses here, this statement. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's a kind of a weird little chunk of verses that don't seem like they really relate to the money issue that he's talking about before and after. And yet it really does, because, like I mentioned before, it has to do with our perspective. It's the way we see things. If we don't see it correctly, we are walking in the dark. If we don't have the right perspective, money has this way of snagging us and working on our desires and our temptations in a way that just drags us down. And money is a huge issue. It's one of those things, it's really hard to be honest, because money is kind of taboo to talk about. You know, in society, you don't ask people what they make and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that. And, you know, it's polite and so forth. And so money's kind of taboo. But yet all of us are looking for more money. And if we all would love to have more money to be able to do whatever it is that we want to do. And a lot of times when we look at money, we think that it solves our problems. Although we would say, you know, philosophy-wise, oh, yeah, no, you know, money can't buy everything. But the reality is we really do feel like, you know, at least it'll buy the things that'll get us to everything, you know. And so we have this struggle with money that is so rooted in us that until we actually change our perspective, we're never going to actually handle it right. So we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we seek? Do we really seek after the kingdom? Do we really seek after God? Or do we seek after our desires and our flesh? Do we seek after the things that money can buy? Do we seek after the notoriety that money brings us? Or do we seek after our identity in Christ? It's really a place for us to stop and go, you know, until we get our mindset right, no matter what we do, whenever we touch money, it is like a wild beast and it will overcome us. Until we actually tame it, until we actually cage it and put it in its proper space. So I'm going to give you a couple different things about what this mindset means today and being able to look at it. The first one that I want to throw out there is you got to stop judging. You got to stop looking at people and go, oh, they're rich, they're poor. You got to stop weighing people and thinking that their value as far as income has anything to do with their value as a person. It's an out and out lie. We treat people differently depending on whether we think they have money or not. We look at them and we give them different opportunities depending on whether we think they have money or not. We can look at their cars and go, ooh, they're doing well. I remember a while back, my youngest, all my girls have done really awesome buying really beat up cars and then just driving them into the ground. They've been awesome at it. And my youngest was no exception. She had bought a little car, I think, for less than $1,000, and she had been driving it probably for 6 years straight. And so she, you know, hanging out with everybody else, she went on this double date with these other couples, and they're all sitting around, and they're all talking about, oh, you need a different car, and they're all talking about all this stuff. And it was a very interesting conversation because it went to this conversation about who has more money. And what was crazy about it is they all had these, you know, nicer cars and all that, but my daughter blew them out of the water as far as her savings and all the stuff that she had because she didn't spend it on a car. And yet they totally judged her and said, no, you have to be the poorest among us because of what she was driving. See, we judge people by how they dress. We judge people by what they drive. We judge them by their house. We look at things and we go, oh, this is where they're at. And we give them a status. And we got to stop judging. Because you have no idea what kind of debt they're in or what kind of life that they're living, that money actually has a hold on them instead of them actually controlling their money. And you just don't know. We look at people and we judge them by what they spend it on. The reality is we all spend differently. Some people will spend money on a regular basis to go out and have a coffee every day. And other people won't do that. And then they'll go do a trip. And you'll look at them and say, wow, those folks have money because they went and did a trip. And it's like, well, yeah, but they don't have the toys and they don't have the other things because that was the priority. See, we look at people and we go, well, would I do that with my money? But yet we'll do something else where somebody else will look at us and say, well, I would never do that. That's foolish. We got to stop judging. We got to stop looking at it through the eyes of this world and begin to realize there's something more that God is trying to do in us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power. Oh, you know what? I'm on the wrong spot. I jumped ahead. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 1. In James chapter 2, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing gold rings and fine cloth, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine cloth and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand here or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not shown among yourself and become judges of evil thoughts with evil thoughts. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those whom he loves? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the holy name or the noble name of him whom you belong? This is not obviously a modern problem. This is a problem of man. It has always been there. The world looks at things and we look at whether they have or have not. And we separate people. We treat them differently. The early church had the same issue. We have the same issue. We got to stop judging folks. Begin to see the value in people and who they are and who they are in Christ. Stop looking at somebody and saying, well, they have and they don't have. To be honest, if you have, you have a responsibility. If you don't have, you often have more faith. Because the truth of it is when you have to rely on God from paycheck to paycheck because of the way life is, then you begin to really trust in him to be able to help you through things, and often your faith can grow. Unless, of course, you're living from paycheck to paycheck because you were unwise with what you're doing, then maybe there's a different issue that has to happen. So you can't even look at a poor person and judge a poor person on where they're at in their faith because money doesn't tell you that. The reality of it is we got to lay these things aside and realize that, listen, I have these evil thoughts inside me because that's really what it is. You may not have them, but I do. I've shared with you guys before, I have a list of quotes that when I die, this is what I want to be known for. And believe it or not, one of those things, because all these lists are things that I want to work on. This is what I want my character to be when I pass. And shamefully, I have to admit to you, one of those is that I see the value in everyone. Because I know in my sinful nature that sometimes I don't. It's hard. it is so easy to step into. And so being able to stop and go, wait a minute, this is not the way I'm supposed to act. This is not how I'm supposed to dig into this. I need to be able to truly trust in him. We need to change our mindset in another way too. We need to change our mindset in this. Not only stop judging people and stop measuring it by wealth and whether we think they have it or not, because the truth is you don't know. But to actually stop and be able to start looking at it with an abundance mindset. You have more than you need. I guarantee it. You have more than you need. You have a lot. That's realize that you are blessed beyond belief. When we have an abundant mindset, it changes the way that we look at money. When I have an abundance of something, I don't go seeking it, right? Yesterday we had a bunch of people out at the house. There was enough people at the house, I didn't go running door to door to find more people. That would be ludicrous, you know? We had a ton of chicken that was barbecued out there and all that stuff, the chicken legs. We had so much chicken legs, I had a whole plate of chicken legs later. I didn't look around going, boy, I need more meat. When I have a plenty of something, I know those are stupid, but the reality is this, is when you have a plenty of it, you don't go looking for more of it. When you think you don't have enough, you start going, ooh, I better, you know, put that aside. I better figure out how to, you know, make sure that lasts. You ever get something like special? This is a confession of both me and Sasha. You buy something special to eat, a treat, and it's like, ooh, that's special, and you put it in the refrigerator. It's like, you know, you don't get that very often, so you know, we're not gonna, you know, partake of it too much. And then next thing you know, you open it up and it's all rotten. It's like, dang, we missed out on all this. Because we were saving it so much. You guys ever do that? Some of you, okay, good. I'm not the only weirdo, you know. The reality is the way we think about something is the way that we treat it. And we got to change and realize that we have an abundance. This is where I want to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these we have given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We like to look at evil and go, ooh, that's evil, the way they do this, or that's evil because of that. And really, evil comes from our desires. It comes from our sin nature. It comes from that place where it's like, I want, I need, I covet, I crave. And all that is a mindset. It's being able to change the way that we think. Being able to transform our minds to be able to go, I'm not going to think like the world, that I need more of this stuff. To be able to stop and go, wait a minute, the Bible tells me that I seek first the kingdom, God will take care of all this. That this is what the pagans chase after, but not so for me. That I need to realize that he's given me everything I need. Spiritually, it's so true, because man, he's given us the power through the Holy Spirit to be able to change the way we think. He's given us the power through the Holy Spirit to see life differently. And these things are sweet, but the reality of that too is goes into our finances. Guys, you are not in need. You're not in need. There is plenty of resources. Here's the scary thing about resources. I hate this. I really do hate this. As Americans, we always feel like we need more. You start going overseas and you start doing things internationally, start going to countries that don't have things, and there's a different satisfaction, a different joy in their life. And what's crazy about it is there are so many different places that are doing God's kingdom work with absolutely no resources at all. And we feel like we can't do anything unless we bring in at least, you know, several hundred thousand. And what a trap. It kills me that we have to pay for this building. It does. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know. But yet God uses it. And the reality of it is maybe only one of the reasons why it kills me so much is, one, I don't want to waste his money. But at the same time, maybe I put too much value on the money. It's like, if I don't have enough, how am I going to get through this? I got to change the mindset. To realize that he abundantly gives, he takes care of, he always has. He loves for us to be able to enjoy and rejoice in the riches of him. And that spends over into our giving. It spends over into our finances. So the reality of how we think about it. Realize that we have an abundance. The reality is we get to stop judging. Stop looking at circumstances. Stop looking at certain things and going, this is the way it is. We need to just stop with that. It comes from an evil place. The other is that we need to start looking at money differently, that it is actually a tool. It's a tool. Now you think about what a tool is. A tool is created to either create, to make something easier, or to fix. If we look at money as a tool, we begin to look at money as something to either create, to either fix, or to make something easier. And the reality is when we begin to look at it as a tool, we begin to change our perspective on what we're supposed to do with it. Because when we look at it as a tool, we can actually look at it as a way of being able to use it to further the kingdom of God. Whether it is to create or to make something easier or a burden lighter on somebody else, or to be able to fix an issue that's going on. To be able to look at it differently changes a lot of things. Luke chapter 16 says this: whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little can also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Interesting. It's a tool to be used. God wants us to be able to look at the resources that he's given us and go, how do I use this for the kingdom of God? See, if we look at it and go, how do I use this for my pleasure? How do I use this to further myself along? How do I use this to get more of this? All of a sudden, we've stepped into this place that we're pursuing money compared to going, no, I want to be pursuing God. And I want to be pursuing his kingdom. And that's honestly looking at money and going, God has given me this as a privilege, as a trust. He's given me this as an opportunity to actually do something for him, to actually bring glory to him. Because if you think about it, all things are for the glory of God. In other words, whatever I'm going to do with my money, how do I use my money in a way that other people see the reverence of God, bring weight to God? How do I use my money so people would go, wow, the church did that? Wow, that's incredible. That was really generous, and you guys stepped in and took care of that need. Wow, that's impressive that you're doing these things for somebody else. Those things only come when we actually start using our resources as a tool and begin to look at it and say, okay, strategically, how do I use this in a way that honors him? In 1 Timothy, it tells us that, first of all, we need to take care of our family. If we're not taking care of our family, then to be honest, we're worse than a pagan. Because remember, we talked before, earlier, all things to the glory of God. The greatest priority to him is our relationships. He's got everything else. And he cares about relationship, our relationship with him, our relationship with one another. And so relationships are key and essential. And so realizing in the midst of this that, hey, God has given you resources to take care of those that you are responsible for is important. If you're not living in a way that you're not taking care of those that you're responsible for, you need to get your act right. If you're spending more than you should and you're putting your family at risk, you need to change that. That's not honoring to God. If you're looking at it and saying, hey, we got plenty, so let's just spend it on ourselves as a family, that is not a good deal. There is times that God wants you to enjoy, but if that's what you're doing, then the reality of it is you're teaching your kids and your family how to be selfish. There's a place that he'll bring joy and happiness and purpose in the midst of it, and he will provide in incredible ways. But you got to first look at it and say, man, how do we use this to actually glorify God? How do we use this in a way that brings him weight and honor? A little bit later on in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he writes this, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for us everything for our enjoyment. Notice, he wants us to enjoy. He's not talking about us like being a monk in the corner and like, I will never touch that thing again. You know what I mean? Although I would say this, money can be a trap. And like in this church here, I don't know who gives. And I don't like to touch money. I don't want it passing through my hands. I have very little to do with it because I'm a sinful person. I don't want to treat anybody different, and I don't want the temptation to treat somebody different. I don't want to look at it and be worried or wore up whether we got enough or whether we have too much and I don't spend it correctly. And so there's a place of withdrawing yourself from certain things, but at the same time, being able to come back to this and realize that God's not calling you to this place where it's like, I need to be in a place where I'm always in need because I gave everything away. Okay? He does provide for our enjoyment. But look at this. Money is uncertain. But then it goes on in verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. To take hold of life that is truly life. He's given you resources in order to be able to invest and use those as a tool to other people, to be able to help folks out, to be able to use it in a way that blesses people, to be able to further the kingdom. And if we do it, if you look at it, he talks about good deeds and being generous. Now, this is what's really cool about it. The gospel's about love, right? We're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love one another. These are the greatest commandments. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about without love, it's pointless. If it doesn't matter what you do, if you're not doing it in love, then you're just going through this ritual, this righteous acts, which aren't actually righteous because you're just doing it for whatever purpose. It's got to be motivated out of love. And so love is essential and key. And here's the reality. Often we'll talk about love and how important that is as believers, but then we do nothing to actually prove that we love. Love comes from actions. Somebody can say they love me, but until they actually know me, until they actually hug me, until they actually spend time with me, until they actually serve me and help me out of my problems or are there to the whatever it is, that is where I go, oh, they actually love me. Love comes from serving each other. See, this last week, you guys that went out and served, sometimes we go, man, all I did was pull weeds. Who cares? Honestly, who cares? That's not what you did. What you did is you showed up and you did something that nobody else was willing to do. You showed up and helped out different organizations or different people that couldn't do it themselves. You went out and did this in a way that, to be honest, you were there. You actually did something. That's an act of love. And when we act in love, when we go out and do these things, we were talking, I might have shared this story before, I can't remember. Me and John were talking with somebody, and they talked about, hey, you guys do this trail crew thing where you guys go out and serve and try to help different people. And it's like, how many people have you gotten to come to know the Lord through that? And I had to sit down with John and go, I have no idea. That's not the reason why we do it. I don't even measure that. Because if I measure that, then what it is like, how do I put another notch on my belt? Look at, we saved somebody. I went out and it's like, no, we do that because of this. My church, you guys, me included, have to learn how to love people. And loving people is by doing things. Good deeds. Generosity. Generosity is probably one of the easiest ways to actually love somebody. Heck, it's one of the love language, getting gifts. We met last week about the gospel, and we talked about how do you know their needs? You know, and deep down there's some needs that they don't even know that they have, such as salvation. And so it's like dealing with how do you connect with people and help them realize that God loves them through their needs. Well, here's the easiest need that everybody has. Finances. You want to connect with somebody? Generosity. Isn't that crazy? We look at it and go, ooh, you know, that's money. No, it's not. It's a tool. It's a tool. It's a resource. Matter of fact, Jesus tells a whole parable about the shrewd servant who uses money to make friends. And he does it in a dishonest way. And at the end of it, Jesus goes, good job. And you go, what? I mean, he just literally ripped off his master in order to make friends. And Jesus says, yeah, the people of this age are shrewd. They know how to use this stuff. And the lesson is for us to realize, wait a minute. He's given us everything we need. We need to actually change the way we think about it. Not that I need to hold on to it, but how do I change it around? How do I use this in an incredible way to be able to further the kingdom? The fourth one that I wanted to lay down to you was literally living with generosity. It's the reality of this. Money is an investment. Generosity is investing. It is an intentional act of being able to say, how do I use this in order to invest in what God has? Think of it as an investment, but an investment in a different way. Not an investment on how do I get more, but an investment on how do I get more out of it. Proverbs 11 says this, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. It's a proverb. Some people look at proverbs and say, hey, this is the way it works. This is a law. Well, no, a proverb is the generalities of it. And this is what's really cool. Is I think when we live generous, somehow or another, God steps in and takes care of you on a greater level. I really believe it. I don't like, and neither do I want to subscribe to the idea that, well, if I give God $100, he'll give me $1,000. It's like, ooh, that's, you're playing with fire right there. That's not good. That's not solid theology. Don't go there. But I know this. It seems like when we're generous, he continues to take care of our needs. It seems like when I'm generous, it's crazy how things just keep going. I mean, if God took care of the Israelites for 40 years in the desert, I think it's really kind of cool that the scripture talks about how their shoes did not wear out. And what's funny about it is I know people that make a lot of money who are poor. Because they're not generous, but boy, they have doctor bills and they have medical emergencies and they have, you know, breakdowns and they have constant issues that their money is totally being taken from them all the time in ways that I go, wow, that is just heartbreaking. But yet their drive is for more money, because then that'll take care of their issue. I tell you, there is something weird about Jesus' economy. There's really something weird about it. I always hesitate to say this, because it's about Christ. When I was 40, and I'm not 40 no more. When I was 40, I said, hey, the scripture talks about increasing in your generosity, increasing in your love. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to give another percent every year on my birthday. I'm going to do it. I'm going to see how long that goes, and I don't know how you're going to work this out. So I'm at a place that I actually give away a quarter of my income every month. And this is what's nuts about it. Absolutely nuts about it. At this stage of life, I don't have more money, but I have an abundance of opportunities and places of enjoyment and things that I love to do that keep getting thrown at me. I don't get it. In all honesty, I am richer now than I've ever been before in my life. Not financially. Far from that. But I'm not in need. We all love the verse, God loves a cheerful giver. I've come to believe that a cheerful giver is somebody who just gives. See, when you give, there's such satisfaction in that. When I used to give, you know, our tithe and all that, but it's like, oh, here it is, I'm doing my thing. Da-da-da. When I give now, it's like, this is actually a junk. And it makes a difference. It helps out people. It does certain things. It's amazing. And it's awesome. Be generous, but be shrewd. It's an investment. Be shrewd. Everybody that asks you isn't somebody that should necessarily have, because everybody's asking. And if they send you mail every week, they probably shouldn't be getting it, because they're sending mail every week. All right? Be shrewd. Look at who's asking and what's happening, and listen to the Spirit. Right now, there's a lot of folks that need finances to do mission trips. There's a lot of folks that need finances to help out people in different situations and all of it. Look at where the fruit is. Look at what's going on. Listen to the Spirit and go, okay, God, do you want me to invest in this? Because you've given me this tool to be able to use for your kingdom. Don't just throw it out there. That's not what it's about. Be shrewd. Listen to the Holy Spirit. But here's the reality of it. Generosity is an attribute of God. And when you become generous, you are becoming godly. When you become generous and start loving on people, they receive love in a new and a unique way from you. And that brings glory to God. When you are generous, you are being like God, because He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He paid a tremendous price, more than you will ever be able to give away, in order to have you as a son and daughter. We have this great hope because of the generosity of God and of Jesus Christ, who took our price and paid it, a debt that we could not pay. And because of that, we see and we feel His love, and we receive His grace, and we receive salvation because of His sacrifice, because of His generosity. Tell me how we cannot be more like Christ when we actually turn the way that we think about finances and become generous and start loving people and furthering the kingdom and looking at it as a tool and a resource to go, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? Because this is really cool. I get to be involved in what you're doing. How many times do we have that opportunity? Regularly. If you act in it. If you don't, you'll never see it. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, we ask that you would help us as your children. Through your Spirit, that you would begin to open our eyes to the needs around us. That, Father, that we would have a heart and a concern for those that are in need. But, Father, not to be foolish, not just to throw it away into something that doesn't actually produce, but, Lord, that you would help us to step into a way that we can see your kingdom move. That your Spirit would speak to us and open our hearts for compassion for the things around us that you're doing. Lord, help us not to cast our eyes upon money as something that we have to hold on or we don't have enough of. Help us to change our mindset. You've given us so much to enjoy in this world. And you love for us to enjoy. But you also want us to overcome our evil desires. So let us walk in the promises that you have for us. Let us become cheerful givers. Let us be examples of Christ. Examples of you. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.